I said something to you last time, that when I was in university, it was a sin amongst us to read novels. I used to read one novel maybe every 2 years. And that one, as I'm reading it, conscience go, they fight me. Conscience. After a long time, I graduated to reading only informative things. Like, it had to be based on a true story. And maybe a biography. A read analysis, history, stuff like that. But I like Frank Peretti because he helps me capture the reality of the spiritual realm. One of the things, I don't know why people watch so much. I'm not saying it's a sin again. But my wife, the other day we were sitting at home. We put on the TV. After those who were in the house were watching Africa Magic before we arrived. So as soon as we put it on, Africa Magic showed. So they began a particular drama. I told my son, because the decoder is not with the TV there. I said, go upstairs. Go and put this thing on news. My wife said, let me watch what's happening. I said, listen, this is how people's brains degenerate. I said, no, this is how you lose intelligence. This is a typical Nigerian home movie. They will tell a story that I can tell in 15 minutes in 3 hours. And that's just part one. I told my wife, before you start getting too curious, let's stop it now. So I told my son, go quickly, change it to news for me. If you watch CNN for 15 minutes, you've heard all the bad things that happened on the world in the last 24 hours. I said, quickly go and put it in news. At least that one, after a short time, I will get tired. But to settle down for 3 hours, I used to tell my sister-in-law, I said, this is how your brain will degenerate. You just sit down. Then when you finish with movie magic, it's African magic. After that, it's M-Net movies. After that, you just move up and down. I said, your brain can't develop like this. They will lie to you money till night. I thought they were watching one medical drama. I used to like it. I think House. Then that particular day, I told my wife, see, this drama is a lie. This, I'm a doctor. I can tell you all this they said today doesn't happen. He said, I said, yes, we'll hear it too. This is not life. One day, somebody emailed something to our mailing group about, an article somebody wrote about this emergency room dramas. That, please, that's not real life. It doesn't work like that. The people think that this, it works. It now gives some the things that happen on TV and the ones that happen in real life. This last episode that we watched in my house, I told my wife, come, see this thing. I said, they played it very beautifully. To people like you, it's so dramatic and so interesting. As soon as they finished that day, I lost all the respect I had for them from the beginning. And these are people who research well, not these are our home video people, in which the doctor will be taking BP from the leg. You know those? The Nigerian home video people, they make me laugh. You enter court, the judge is the one cross-examining the the witness. He's here for goodness sake. Don't even have sense to call somebody to ask, is this the way it works? The doctor will walk in. So, you see a man who's sitting down, nothing's wrong with him. He said, I have to perform this operation within the next 1 hour. Otherwise, he's going to go mental. I say, hey. So I need the sum of 500,000 naira. I say, oh boy, relax. Relax, relax. Don't be like that. Say, can't you even call somebody and say, oh boy, come in your clinic. Is that the way it really works? Just somebody wants to check the heartbeat of a man wearing a suit. Just put the stethoscope here. Fear. Hey, I said, for goodness sake. How many layers of clothes between you and the guy's heart? Hey. Now, that I mean, we're very funny. But even amongst the people that do very dramatic dramas, make everything look real. You look at it closely. 75% bobo. Let it go bobo. Lie. I'm not trying to educate you. They're trying to entertain you. Trying to waste your time. Those days, when I was a Christian, those things were said. I mean, there was a time, you know, I had this, we went to listen to Tunde Bakare yesterday. As Tunde Bakare was talking, he said something there. He sang his son, said, you will not go deeper life before. I turned to my wife, I said, me too, at least I went to deeper life. All these you small people, you know, go deeper life. We went deeper life. Some of you, now from going to party, just enter Pentecostalism. So dancing continued. Before it was dancing in disco or now they book it down for the Lord. Give the Lord a wipe, I mean. Keep on giving. I said, finally, we went to deeper life. Those are talking about those are kind of background. You know what they used to call television those days? The devil's box. I bought a book by one American prophet. And he described the box of the devil. I said, this is not even, it's not a Nigerian thing. You know the interesting part? Of course, we grew up and learned that, look, it doesn't have to be a devil's box. But I understand why they had to call it the devil's box. Because all the evil, now let me put my own to it now. All the waste of time, the things that deaden people's spiritual brains, they come out of that box. You get a full bouquet of, what do you call it? DSTV as an example. They have like 7 sporting channels. You can show you every UEFA Cup going on. If they are, I don't know who gets the license now. But they can show you, look, as they play rugby on this side, is every serious match being played all over the world. Any, live. And they give you TBN South Africa, of all TBNs. And put another one on the side. And that's it. Are those things evil? No. But there's an explosive power of a new affection, according to Oswald J. Smith. Is what you love. Look, listen. You can't get me to be sitting down morning, afternoon, and night, entertaining, you know, spending my energy on that which does not satisfy. I mean, you won't condition my body for success. That's the point I'm making. This is how I condition my body for success. I constantly talk about the word of God. It's constant talking. That's what I want you to understand. And you know the interesting part? It doesn't come just from the desire. You know, I told you, it's not desire we are dealing with. You want to talk constantly, you must first grab the book. Did you hear what I said? You must first do what? Grab the book. You don't just get them and say, hey, I want to talk the word of God. Listen, it said like this. My rain doth instruct me in the night seasons. I said, this is how it goes. In the day seasons, I first instructed my rain. I don't know where I get the point. That is, I first feed my mouth, my heart, with my eyes, with my ears. Fill the heart to be full. Then it begins to overflow in the mouth. I told you before that when God said in Genesis, he didn't speak English. Every day I keep on getting more persuaded about that. There was an, you know, in the beginning God said, and God said, let there be light. He didn't say let there be light. What I mean is that there was no word like that. All he did was after meditating, his heart became full, then he erupted. Boom! And the eruption was what Moses heard. And trying to convey it to you and I, he had to write in a language that we understand. And he said, let there be light. The fact was that God was full of what he wanted to do. And it erupted. Wham! That's why Jesus brought it down for us to understand. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. It's what you have filled your heart with that your mind talks about, your mouth talks about, and it's what your mouth talks about that your body begins to respond to. Do you get my point? Listen, you know the Christian, you know, when I'm talking about Christian warfare, this is the thing we should fight. Ignorance. He said the people lose the battle because of lack of knowledge. He said my people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. That is where we lose our battles. It's not because of witches and wizards and Ogboni and cults and, you know, I tell you all the time. They say, your enemies are not sleeping at night. Why are you sleeping? You remember my answer to it? They are sinners. I'm not a sinner. That's why they can't sleep at night. In peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. You know, we went to Debakara yesterday. Oh God, it was very interesting. My wife was so happy I made her go. She was excited. The man talked about the days of heaven upon the earth. He said he went somewhere to preach. He didn't know that somebody had gone there before. To say that you can buy a bigger mansion for yourself in heaven. You know what that means? That Jesus has gone to prepare heaven, you know, there are mansions for you in heaven. You can buy a bigger one. If you want your mansion in heaven to be big, come forward and come and bring a seed for the bigness of your mansion in heaven. He said, didn't know. He just went the following week to go and debunk that without knowing that that was what happened. They never called him back again. Now, people were rushing forward to go and give big offerings so that their mansion in heaven would be big. That's not really what worries me. It's not the man who's lying alone that's my problem. It's the people who are responding. I know why they respond. Ignorance. One day, a man came to town. You heard me tell the story before. And he said that to break the curses over the last three generations, you know, we have a way of moving. We don't want to lie to people. You will sow a seed for three generations. I said, look, you see what pains me that people will run up and down to sow a seed to break the curses over three generations? Ignorance. What pains me is that at the end of the day, no curse is broken. Do you get my point? Then they will not discover, that they will think they have discovered that the word of God does not work. When in reality, they have been spending their energy on that which God did not send them into because of what? Ignorance. They have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let me tell you something about God. Anybody who wants to know, he will tell. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Let me show you one something quickly. Let's look at one of the parables of Jesus. I'll show you, there's something that's very interesting. Let's take it from the book of Matthew. Or let's take Mark. I'm already in Mark, so let's take Mark. Now, we're not going to read everything. I just want to bring out something here. In Mark chapter 4, he was talking about the parable of the sower. And he said all the different things that you all know. The one that fell by the wayside. The one that fell among stones. The one that fell on the earth, on the rock. And then the one that fell on good soil. And all of that. He now said in verse 9, in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now notice verse 10. And as soon as he was alone, notice this, his disciples, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And this was the answer he gave in verse 11. He said, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is to understand it, if you read Matthew. He said, but those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. And he said, lest they return and be forgiven. He now began to explain to them, verse 13, the meaning of the parables. I want to bring out something here. He told parables. Is that okay? And everybody was excited. And they marveled at the depth of what he was saying. But they also knew they did not understand. And what did they do? They all walked away. Wow. Were you there tonight when Jesus preached? Now that guy can preach. Oh. The way the word was rhyming. Talk about the sower and the sowing. And the sower went and he sowed. Oh boy. The atmosphere was charged. Do you know there were different kinds of seed there? Now, wow. Anyway, what was the result of the match? Nobody bothered to ask themselves, they go, what is the meaning of seed? What kind of seed? And he said, who that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me ask you a simple question. The disciples of Jesus who were following him about and the apostles, did they understand? No. Therefore, what was the difference? What gave them understanding? By the time everybody left, they came and said, Baba, you try. See that preaching where you preach. Now only for yourself. Because we don't get the point. We don't get the point. And he smiled. No wahala. What qualified anybody to understand was not that he called himself disciple or apostle, but because he was present when he began to interpret. The qualification for understanding there was what? Presence during interpretation. That's all. What am I trying to say? If you want to know the truth, the problem is that most people, they don't want to know the truth. They are lazy. They don't want to change. A man tells them, you can break through tomorrow without changing your lifestyle, without changing what you do. You are a thief, keep stealing. You are lazy, keep on in your laziness. You're untrustworthy, keep on in your unfaithfulness. Just sow a seed and your life will change tomorrow. Listen, if you believe that, it's because you want to be deceived. Do you know there are those who don't want clarification, they don't want explanation, they just want to live in deception. I've had a sister, she was saying it jokingly. But I realized, this kind of joke, I don't like it. We're trying to explain some things and discuss some issues. She said, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, this man said it's like this, and that's all it is. Don't you have eyes? He said, it doesn't matter. Don't you have a brain to understand simple English? It does not matter. And she did that thing like 3 times that I know of. Because another day, somebody finished preaching a marriage seminar. At the end of the day, jokingly again, he said, be careful. You know, Yoruba man has a saying. They say it's in the midst of jest that we find out the truth. She's after 3 days of intensive teaching on marriage by an anointed man of God. She turned to her friend and said, you see what that pastor said? That is his own. As far as I am concerned, I'm still going to find myself a tall, dark, and handsome man to marry. It was a joke, and everybody laughed about it. That was my second experience with her behaving like that. And many years later, this was when we were in school, this was long after we graduated, somebody reported something she said in a meeting in the church she was attending. One of our friends that were all together in school those days. They finished again, was married talk. And she uttered another word. We showed that as far as you people can say what you like, I have made up my mind what I believe and the kind of man I want to marry, and I'm not going to change my mind. Each time was like a joke. But the fact is that shows this fellow's attitude. Most people don't want to know the truth. That one I have found out. And listen, if you like, close your eye. Dig your head in the sand like an ostrich. If the hunter is going to shoot and kill you, the fact that you can't see him doesn't mean that he won't shoot you. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. It's for your own safety that you get up and decide to understand God. It's for your own safety and your prosperity. That's what God said to Joshua. He said, this is how you will succeed in life. This is how success will come to you. It's not by striving for success. Oh God, Father, I thank you. There's a reason why I said that. There are times, listen, everybody has desires, everybody has goals. You know that? There are times you look at life and you wonder whether you are moving the direction of the thing that you really desire. You've done everything that is right. It doesn't seem like anything is going that way. If you think Pastor Bank never gets discouraged, or at least attempts to get discouraged, you are lying. One of the things I know which a lot of people don't know is how to get encouraged. Everybody can get discouraged. It's the ability to get encouraged. Do you understand my point? That's where the difference is. If anything in life makes it look like it wants to discourage me, I know what to do. And in fact, that will help me to move into the next thing I'm supposed to say before we close. I get down on my knees and take the word of God and pray. Now, you'll see that. We'll read something now. I'll connect with that. I'll take the word of God and pray. And God, there's something I'm trying to bring out from that. I discover something. That even though it appears like things are not going where I want them to go at that particular point in time, or manifest the way I want them to manifest, do you understand? I just go back to the word of God and I discover something. That if I continue doing that which is right, are you getting my point? If I continue persistently walking according to the truth of God I have understood, All right. One thing I have come to understand is that one day, he said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that did what? Dream. Do you get my point? I said, no. God, that we have obeyed you this far and we're not planning to change our minds, there's an inevitable conclusion. There is prosperity just beyond the horizon. That one is for sure. Why? Because he said the passport, listen to this, the passport to prosperity, that's the point I'm coming to, it's not the striving for it. It is what? Meditating, having filled our hearts with the word, we continue to talk. Listen, when you talk, it's not only your body that responds, the environment responds. Did you hear what I said? It is not only your body that responds, your environment responds. A friend of mine and I were talking a few days ago. There was a major change that was made in Nigerian public sector. And I said, that man should be careful, the new man. If he doesn't do the will of God, he will die suddenly. Now, when I say die suddenly, I'm not angry with anybody. Are you getting my point? But one thing I know for sure is this, that we have prayed for this country and God has heard us and we are moving in a particular direction. Any man who will rise up to turn it around for selfish interests, hear ye the word of the Lord, will die suddenly. No, you don't have to say amen. It's irrelevant. It's said amen for your sake so you can believe it. But that will happen is settled. Derek Prince prayed a prayer. Go and listen to that message, aggressive prayer. He prayed a prayer. He was in the army during the Second World War. He said, God, give us leaders that through them you may give us victory for your glory in this battle. And then they removed the commander of the British army and brought another one. Now listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And on the way, as that one was landing, the plane crash landed. The man got flung out of the plane, broke his neck, and he died. And then Winston Churchill had to emergency, appoint another commander who was the son of a clergyman. Who through him, God gave the British forces victory against the Italian and the German forces. And the prince said the reporter was reporting what happened before that final battle. And the man gathered his men, do you get my point? And his officers and his men. And said, let us ask the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle, to give us victory in this war. That is, a man had prayed that God give us leaders so that through them you can give us victory and take glory. And before, now this man, later I went to check in the encyclopedia about the battle of El Alamein. That's what really happened. And that's when I found out the details about that Montgomery man. That this guy was the son of a clergyman. And the British had amassed forces of over 200,000 soldiers. In fact, they had outnumbered their opponents. God said, if I allow these people to win like this, they will think it is by might. So he appointed a man who knew how to pray. And before they set out in battle, the last thing he did, he said, men, let us pray. Let us ask God, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. Because we understand that victory is of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Words that the believers speak, they don't only affect their bodies, they affect their environments. Do you get my point? I uttered that word and I said, that man, I hope he's not appointed to death, because what will happen is that if he tries to turn Nigeria backwards, our words have gone out. Either they kick him out or he dies suddenly. What do we like to do? This is how Satan gives us work. All we do is comment. There's armed robbery. Armed robbers, they have big guns. Police have small guns. Armed robbers, they shoot people. They kill them and take their money. Wow, this is a terrible country, terrible country, terrible country. Now let us sleep. Father, we thank you for a good day. Now that we are going to sleep, remain God while we sleep. Amen. Thank you very much. Wake up in the morning. There's no light. I can't iron. This country is dead. Nothing is working. Talk. You know, listen, I told you, please. If you thought only action only comes here on Saturdays, don't forget, very shortly, I don't know the date for sure, we are starting the School of Prayer and Power on Tuesdays. All right? And what we're going to do is study how to pray, then we will pray. People will come with prayer requests. And I believe God, seriously. Now, that's when we'll take testimonies. You will hear of dangerous things, and believe me, you will fear God. I'm telling you, because I discovered that the law of power that God has given us, we are not using. All we do is talk and complain and grumble. Yes, all we do is complain, we talk, we grumble. We don't realize that if we spoke, all right, if we took the word of God and used those words to speak, it's not only our bodies that respond, the environment in which we live responds. You know, when our governor began to do roads like this, so I was somewhere one day, I was talking to one brother, I said, man, they no good on good, now we can buy fine cars, and we'll drive them on good roads. He said, yes, sir. That was what you said the 2 or 3 years ago. You said it was going to happen. As God leads, I can't remember saying it. But he reminded me that I said this some time ago, that this is going to happen. And I'm taking instruction from such things. I said, then let us say other things. That in 3 years, it might catch up. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We should begin to declare that it will happen. That power failure will be a matter of the past in this our country. Are you getting my point? You know, American man doesn't understand what they call burglar proof. How can you put burglar proof on your window? He doesn't understand. Just slides the glass shut and he goes to sleep. He leaves the house like that, just puts alarm there. Because he knows if you break his door, his neighbor will call the police. And the police will be there in 3 minutes. And it will happen like that also in this country, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. One day men will look and say, what is that we are going to look for anywhere anyway? Everything is also over here. We will drive good roads. Are you hearing me? We will drive good cars on good roads. And live in good houses. Where water runs. Continue the amen, I beg. Where our garbage is taken out, you know, away from, we put it in the front door and then it goes away. Where if we call police, in 3 minutes they are there. Amen. Where if we are not at home, our neighbor will not be afraid to call police. Amen. Where no thief will have the effrontery to operate for 10 minutes without running. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Where you will go to school without sweating over fees. Amen. Where you will work and have pleasure in your work. When you won't be suffering and smiling according to Fela. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Listen, I said something. What Christians are supposed to fight, all right, is ignorance. Let's understand God. Then we will know where to put our energy. There's something that Jesus said. He said, you said the scriptures. Let me just end with this quickly. Let's open to a book of Ephesians chapter 6 again. I want to close. I don't discipline myself very well and not take too much time. Ephesians chapter 6. There's one portion of it I want to read. We have been reading that one for a while. Just one thing that I want to bring up. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. Where we have been reading. Now, I talked about the armors of God, or all the components of the armor of God, and he now said, let me just read from verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he continues in verse 18, he said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. He now said, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now, let me just explain something here about the matter of prayer. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you said the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. He said, but you don't come to me. Now, when a man makes a statement like that, it is implicit, therefore, that he's saying that their activity is wrong. Is that not clear? It's clear there. That what they are saying, in fact, it's not implicit, it's explicit. What he's saying is clear. That you think you are saying the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but you don't come to me. He said, but these scriptures testify of me. What he was saying, in fact, is that it's not just about reading and discovery, it's about personal contact with the source of life. Are you getting my point? This is the way prayer is. There was something we read last time. Let me read it again to help me connect this. I want to close it in the next 5 minutes. Daniel chapter 9. Now, in that Daniel chapter 9, you see Daniel explaining that one day I was studying and I came to understand by reading the book of Jeremiah the number of the years that God has said that we will stay in Babylon. Now, it said, and that is 70 years in verse 2. So in verse 3 it says, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So you discover something. Let's just stop reading there because I want to finish it in the next few minutes. You discover that what Daniel did was to discover the plan of God. Amen. and then take that as a template for prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't go just to pray. Now, let me say this to you. We're talking about effective warfare, Christian warfare. A lot of prayers that people pray, they are pointless. I'm sorry to say that. They are pointless. They are aimless. The person praying, he doesn't expect any result. He said, how do you know, sir? Because he wouldn't be able to tell when the result will come. I don't know whether I get the point. If I'm praying for healing, at least I will know when I'm healed. If I want a job, at least I will know when I get one. If I want a child, I will know when my wife finally delivers. In fact, if I want a wife, I will know the day he finally pronounced me man and wife. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will know. But the problem is when I'm praying against my enemies, I don't know when they are going to die. Because the truth, I don't even know who the enemies are. Because I don't even have any enemies. I have been deceived and I'm enjoying the deception. Some people say, this year shall be my year of turnaround. Turnaround from what? Are you planning to change your job? No. You want to move to another country? No. You want to change your profession? No. You ask them many, many questions. Turn around. What kind of turnaround are you dealing with? Nothing. Sometimes, God forgive me. I hope you don't mind me saying this. There's a church near my house. When they are praying in the morning, I almost start laughing. I say, God, do you find this as amazing as I do? God, today your glory will be manifested. I say, wait. When the glory shows, you go, no. And people start praying. Now, listen. They start praying. And thank God for praying in tongues. It's one cover for ignorance that we use now. When you don't know what the pastor is saying, you too, you don't know what you're saying. He says, nah, but. Say, what did they say? Just pray in tongues. The truth is that we are not expecting anything. We are not. And it's not our fault. We have not read any book of Jeremiah. It has not described for us the number of years they are supposed to be in captivity. So we just go and pray. And say, God, this captivity is too much. 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 And then God say, me too, I know. Anything else? And in case I did not know, you have informed me long enough. What exactly do you want? Like Mike Murdock said it to somebody once. He said, God, I want another house. I need a bigger house. I just need a house. He said, which kind of house do you want? He said, I don't know. I just need a house. He said, all right, good. He said, God will give you a dog house. God will give you a dog house. And you won't be able to complain. Because the house is the house. That's what it means, punching as one, boxing the air. You don't really, there's nobody you are hitting. There's nobody you are hitting. Go and listen to that message, Derek Prince, and I refer to aggressive prayer. When he heard the report, do you understand? Of the reporter concerning what the commander said before the war began, he knew when his answer came. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? The problem, why we cannot pray effectively, why we cannot use our weapons effectively, is that we don't even know what we are fighting for. We don't know what we are trying to defend. And let me summarize, my time is gone. And we don't know because we are totally ignorant. We have not bothered to read the scriptures. So he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And he said concerning the priests that they rejected knowledge. God said, therefore I will reject it from being my priest. Please, I'm coming to something. Well, because of my time, I just have to stop it. Listen, it's with God's word you discover what God has really, really, really given to you. I want to stop it. Maybe we'll talk about prayer another time, all right? Because that will have been the next thing. But I want to just stop this. I don't want anything to go beyond today, and I don't want to overshoot the time, all right? So I'm stopping in the next 1 or 2 minutes. And then we go, having discovered from the word of God, then we'll now use our persistence of faith and our supplications and confessions. Those are the things that indeed overcome the devil in every area of our lives. Let me say it like that. I don't have time to develop it. If you discover that God has given you something, let me say something. I want to give you a practical example. One of the things that the devil does to people to ensure that they fail is that first it takes away hope from them. Let me explain that again. That is, you know, when Barack Obama became American president, I heard a lot of things. My friends living in the U.S., they said their own. Then I heard Diddy, you know, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, that's his name, right? I heard him talk on TV. He was carrying his son on his lap. And for them it was very significant. He said, now my son can say he's going to be an American president. And that was one thing the blacks couldn't say before. That's what he was saying, in effect. Spike Lee said, my mother is at home watching this. Her grandmother was born a slave. That is slavery, the history of slavery, was something that made it impossible for you to envision being president. And my friend Chuck said it. He said, after Barack Obama wins his election, because he had not won, he said, finally, all the American boys who roam the streets doing nothing, he says, very common there, the blacks, doing nothing, who have a high chance of ending up in jail, now they will realize that life can actually be different from going to jail. You know what the devil did to all of them? It was to take hope away. Once you don't have hope, you don't want to fight. I don't know what I can say. Yeah, you don't want to fight. So maybe all your life you have been poor or sickly or something. One thing the devil uses that to take away from you is the dream for something great. And once you don't have that dream, believe me, even God can't give it to you. Later on, we'll talk about the matter of prayer. I just have to stop this now. You know what you do? Once you have read the scriptures, and when you talk about scriptures, let me just say this, not only the Bible. You have heard me preach. That is scripture. I don't know what the hell I said. You have read the Kenneth Hagin write. These people are giving you the word of God. Are you following my point? Having kindled hope, I told you, you can't just make up your mind. I will be courageous. No. Suddenly you see something afar. Take that thing and go back home. And say, God, look at it. I have been told I can be great. But you see, because I was so sick, when my friends would do 10 years of school, I'll do only 3 years. How can I get here? But in Christ Jesus, I have been redeemed. Therefore, the curse of the law, the curse of sickness, the curse of poverty, the curse of backwardness has been broken. Do you get my point? That's how to pray. It's not this, brethren, let us pray. You know, I'm sorry. This is my personal conviction. Dear Lord, let me say this. I don't think I'm too wrong. I am persuaded that 90% of the prayers that Pentecostals pray have no meaning, have no effect. As of today. They have no meaning, they have no effect. Because the man praying for prosperity will sell his mother for a visa. Obviously, he's not asking for anything. It's a double-minded man who God doesn't give anything to. He hasn't been taught to focus his energy and say, God, this one I have discovered. These are the limitations and this is what the word says. Listen, let me summarize because I tell you, I don't have time to develop it. What overcomes the devil is the persistence of, look, it's not, devil, take your hand off my future. His hand left your future long ago. Satan, you cannot hold me back. He knows, God knows. You are the only person that doesn't know. So your prayer is trying to persuade yourself. Oh, my enemies, you have failed. They failed before you were born. Except that with all this failure of your enemies, the inability of Satan to hold you back, you're not even going anywhere. You are not asking God for anything. Let me give you an assignment as I close. You say, God, please, I want to meditate for a few minutes. I just think, what is it that I really want to do? I like what somebody said, if there was no hindrance, what do I really want to do? At the end of 5 minutes, make up your mind, especially from the scripture, I have taught enough for you to understand that you have no disadvantage in life. Then take that thing to God in prayer and say, God, this is exactly what I want you to do for me. And please, don't change your mind. The problem we have is with what? Double-mindedness. We are not even sure. I have to stop. I really feel like continuing to teach, but let me stop.